이 주는 그 중한 and with me is Peter George Young of Buxton. Peter George has been a village father for a number of years, a teacher and person of wide experience, having been involved in local government politics as well as national politics. For the benefit of youngsters, Bostonians or otherwise, and others, I am going to try to capture from Teacher George something of the history, the experiences, the outlook, and the general feeling of Buxton in years gone by. First, I'm going to ask Teacher George to give us some idea of his early days in Buxton. Teacher George, could you tell us, youngsters who are anxious to learn of what it was like in Buxton in years gone by, something about yourself, your early days in the village?
Good evening. Remember the school as it used to be. But I think the national event most vivid in my earliest recollection is coronation of King George and Queen Mary as a youngster, just after school. Enthusiasm and patriotism that people find. The school children had to march. And there was that keen rivalry as to which school should be in front and so forth.
What school did you go to, you were a member of at that time?
St. Augustine's Anglican School then. Under the headmastership of the late Mr. John Patrick McKenna.
You can remember what year that was?
Well, if my mathematics is correct, having been born September 30, 1906, and you had to be approximately 5 then, the answer is not difficult.
Which class you were in?
Well, I remember I had to be led by a senior male teacher, the late Thomas H. Barton, who I must have been a toddler then.
That was put us around
1911 or thereabouts.
Around, yeah. So what was so outstanding, you could recall, of that occasion?
Well, I do remember a prominent businessman and his wife, dressed as king and queen, in a carriage, near to the school, and they being the center of attraction, as if, say, here is the coronation in miniature, so to speak. More of that, I do not remember. Then my second recollection of something outstanding in the life of the family was the departure of a deceased uncle to study law. I remember being in a, what used to call a mail in, and I remember accompanying my aunt and seeing him out. It was the first time I saw what is known as a double bed, vertical. But There is this which I also remember of late, the remarks of a naturalized Bostonian who came from Barbados many, many years ago and told me, he died approximately 8 or 9 years ago. He arrived in Buxton the very year I was born, and making a comparative analysis, the village then was in a better condition. And I assume that he meant physically, intellectually, and otherwise. The earliest days of school I remember, to a certain extent, those were tough days, so to speak. Of course, even though your parents were fairly well off, you took a delight in going barefooted so that you could move in and out of the yards. Most of them are pale and at times the unauthorized reaper of the fruits. But schoolwork, the drudgery then, assessed in its proper perspective and compared with presently, you have to give full credit to the pioneers of old. As for instance, the system of promotion to a teacher and teachers was payment by results. And even though from the school management point of view it was wrong, yet it produced in the child a commercial product. Moreover, if you didn't meet a certain number of attendance, you were not eligible for examination.
Also, the attendance determined to the promotion of the teacher and the promotion of the school.
Yes.
Is that so?
Yes.
Because I remember hearing of headmasters going to homes in the morning to get the children out of the school.
Yes.
Meeting them on the road.
During market days in particular.
Yes, and marking them off school.
Yes.
And providing them with breakfast and so on.
Yes.
So all that used to happen.
Yes.
How many schools were there in Buxton?
Five.
Could you name them for us?
It's in the Buxtons. We attended up to 6 and then. Church of England, St. Anthony's Roman Catholic, Friendship Methodist, Boston Congregational. Then you had St. Augustine's, officially termed lower, but really was full-fledged, a primary school. So St. Augustine's had two schools.
What was the payment, the remuneration of teachers brought in those days, of their salaries and so on?
I'm not in a position to certify authentically, but I do know that when I started to teach as a pupil teacher, my salary was $4 per month.
What year was that?
1920.
Oh.
But that was not the lowest salary I I didn't start there. I started as an office boy to the local authority. So I had the atmosphere and climate of local administration within and around me earlier than the profession of teaching.
So you started teaching when you were about 14?
Yes.
And you were this office boy much younger than that?
Younger.
I see. So you were a worker's man from boyhood?
Well, you had to survive and you had to be an economic unit of the home because we were 9 children. 5 boys, 4 girls.
That does exactly the kind of home I've come from.
Yeah.
5 boys and 4 girls. Anyway, so you started teaching. Which class did you start teach? Can you remember some of your first pupils?
First standard. Initially, some of my first pupils relate Sarah Melbourne, late the teacher Stanley Truman, late station master John W. Cockfield, Cedric Wilson, known familiarly to us as Master Wilson.
Which school was that?
St. Anthony.
St. Anthony.
I started then under the headship of the Mr. S.A. Terrine. Now, going back to the elementary tuition in those days, you had to be versed in the 3 R's. And you were rated as privileged and honored if on inspector day, which was a fixed day for examination of the whole school, for the teacher to call you out to read. You had then the own royal readers, where you had the subject matter in paragraph, and you had the difficult words in syllables. At the end, you were treated to an exercise in grammar by way of questions, and an introduction to essay writing because you had a summary of the lesson at the end. So that the introduction to the English language was varied. In addition to that, when you were assembled for reading, on rare occasions you had to analyze and parse and spot and paraphrase. So you had to be versed. Then, in some schools, you had to call the Dun Star. I think today, they have another term for it. But you were in almost total disgrace if you were relegated to the Dun Star, because everybody knew that you were not up to standard and that you were a liability for the inspector's day.
Yeah, on the education, continue on the education topic. Could you tell us something about the outstanding scholars of Buxton during those times?
Strictly speaking, much emphasis was not on secondary education then, and of the two families entering the field of secondary education. Those could be counted in the fingers of one hand. Emphasis was on primary education because we had to go through so many stages of filtration before reaching headmastership. For instance, it was the first examination was known as Candy. And the first subject on entering the examination room was dictation.
At what age do the student or pupil write that exam?
Approximately 14. Coincidentally, I may mention that my mind was never wholly centered on teaching. My mind was centered on tailoring gentle fitting because I had an outstanding outfitting degree and I admired his proficiency exceedingly well, Mr. Burroughs. As a matter of fact, I'd actually started to grow the nail of my right thumb for picking out thread and so forth. And when the news came that I had passed, I was passed at playing cricket. There were two of us who passed at it, the Jafari Lewis. Now, pupil teacher's life was not so easy. You had to be here before the head teacher. And you had to remain in school after school to take your lessons. You had to write the daily tuition book for inspection because the headmaster was paid $1 per month for keeping if you were successful at the next examination. So from candidate you went to end of first year, end of second year, end of third year, then surpass. But I know of a case of a very brilliant student who skipped the third year and got his third class in the just second year. He afterwards became a micro student and a London matriculant.
And the Bostonian?
Yes.
What was his name?
Dr. Fitzroy Everton Young, now in California. My immediate senior.
Your oldest brother. I think we should offer you some congratulations on that achievement. I know that the pupil teacher's appointment examination was a very competitive examination.
The scholarship maybe. Because the combined course voted the amount for education annually, and very often it was suspected that the number of successes was tailored to fitting with the amount voting.
I see. And to have two Bostonians pass the day you and Teacher Farrell passed, that was quite an achievement for the village.
Oh yes, when you pass you and the news came out, you had to go in the Saturday morning and see the official gazette, and then you will, the teacher will look to see the bright boys from the various villages. You have passed, you have star for excellence, and then you have mark for failure. So you are able to make an assessment. And well, of course, naturally next Sunday you went to church and you positioned yourself prominently to receive congratulations.
Yes, I myself experienced that kind of thing, and I know a number of persons who subsequently about the primary education and these very schools that you mentioned and were successful as a pupil teacher's appointment.
Well, going back to the Inspector Lee, you got star with the teacher. That star will remain for about many days on the slate. Of course, you were not introduced to exercise books until you reach the upper division, the classic standard. But the slate itself was preserved because prior to examination you have to scour your slate trail, but you used to see white as dew. And if you got star for the teacher, you have to carry it home. And then you see that was showpiece for visitors, because the mother tell the by bride and the by pass and show the star, and then you will be called out and you will be showered with praise. And you at that time sometimes see the opportunity to ask for a piece of cake in the safe and so forth. Traffic then on the situation.
Could you tell us about how many people lived in Boxer and Friendship around those times? About the population, right?
A rough assessment would be approximately 4,000 or 5,000. But you see, so many of the people, the males in particular, walking the gold and diamond fields and pioneering estates.
Yeah, well, this will bring me to the next question. What was the economic base of the village like at that time? You said most of the males would go into the gold fields.
Gold and diamond.
The gold and diamond fields, and the many were employed in the estates, neighboring sugar estates. Could you tell us something about those sugar estates and how they sustained the village, as it were?
Well, the sugar estates employed Crewed by a girl who was employed to pick worms and teens and so on, about being crewed down or pet dirt in trees. But there are two neighboring sugar estates. We used to call them buildings at the time. This is now owned by Curtis Campbell, Nantrell owned by Booker. Then gradually you promoted yourself either as a field laborer or a factory worker. Of course, the more lucrative side of things, the field worker, the weeder, the cane harvester, I used to call it cane cutter there now, what you call a chase watcher. Otherwise, you work in the factory hands, in various sectors. For instance, what you used to call a punchline, that is the punch repair section, boiler wall, pump operators, blacksmiths, carpenters, or what you call a transport, what in those days we said a quota, a quota bar then, equivalently to a transport superintendent.
What about farm buyers?
Yes, today they say sugar buyers, we used to say farm buyers, but that was, I believe, the highest class of factory occupation, and the best paid. Engineering section used to say the home engineer, the carpenter used to say carpenter, or the pattern maker. There are two sections. There are the pattern maker who used to be attached to the foundry, and then you had the general maintenance carpenter, and then you had the coppersmith.
In these two estates, what percentage of the workforce living in Buxton, would you say gain employment in the two estates, roughly?
47%.
Almost half. Alongside this, there would be a lot of residents who made a living in the farmland of Buxton and
Friendship. Originally that was it, because the pre-emancipation workers, many of them elected to purchase their own lots for residential and cultivation purposes. So prior to my time, this is approximately 80 years before, or in the early 19th century, they left the Shire and they were successful in establishing the various coastal and riverine villages sandwiched between these estates. Gradually, they became more independent as their efforts at farming became successful, but drainage and irrigation and sea defense protection remained difficult. Of course, it is said that that movement was unique in the history of the British Empire, because it was before the Rochdale cooperative movement, and the spirit of enterprise, adventure, cooperation, children remains unmatched to present day. There was implicit confidence in their leaders, and they didn't resort very much to the present day banking system. They accumulated their wealth. I was said that in the case of two, they went to the administrative headquarters and paid for their purchases, carrying their wealth in wheelbarrow.
It was well documented in some history books. Now, I remember Saturday night being very, very important in the life of Buxton. And I suspect that had to do with the payday on the estate being on Friday and Saturday.
Yes.
And the Saturday morning market was a very busy occasion.
Yes. That's correct.
And the 1938 monument that was built by Oscar McGarrett as chairman,
yes,
was located, well, Oscar McGarrett and the councillors was located or sited down Company Road at the back by Pan Dam. Was that because it was the center, that was the center of the farming community at Buxton Worth at the time?
It was the line between the residential and cultivation areas, as well as being placed in the company area, about midway between the two villages.
Yeah.
So originally, the two villages had separate administrations.